Ja. Fix this. Okay, we are wrapping up this series. God cares about love, faith, hope, and love. The foundations of following Jesus, where we explore what being Christians is really all about. How do Christians do life? And today we look at what is it about Christian love that is the same or different with the idea of love of the man in the street, you know? So before we start, shall we pray? Yeah? Father in heaven, fill us with your truth and understanding so that we may know the joy of knowing you and loving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is love? Okay, these are some of the, can you see it? Am I blocking you guys? So these are some of the answers, if you can see them, given by UTS students. We can see that there are many answers. If you can read them, love is hug. Oh, love is soulmate. I don't know. I don't know whether you can identify with some of these questions, the answer.
It's a red heart.
Red heart, yes. Okay. Yeah, I think love is one thing that everyone has lots to say, but we can't quite agree with its exact definition. If I can think of one word to describe love, I will choose giving or gift. In the Bible, God often expresses love by giving. So what do you want God to give you? I'll give you 15 seconds to write it down privately. You don't have to show it to anyone. Okay, you done? Amen. God listen and he will respond. Okay? So having faith in Jesus Christ and trusting in his Father's goodness means we Christians have the privilege of asking God for things. Great. Go ahead and ask for greater gifts. Paul calls us to do just that. For God provides spiritual gifts to enable Christians to serve in the ministry of his word and to form Christian character in us and to build up the church. What are these gifts? They are gifts of the apostleship, of prophecy, of teaching, of miracles, of healing, of helping, of guidance, the gift of tongues, of faith, and of the administration. Any business students here? Administrations, you know, that's a gift of God as well. So these are the gifts of Holy Spirit. A long list. I don't have time to put them out there. You can check out in the Bible. It's all over in Romans and Corinthians. So gifts are great. Yet Paul insists on showing us the most excellent way. The most excellent way is not about the ranking of these different kinds of gifts. That one gift is better than another. He is also not setting love on one side and gifts on one side and say, this is better than this. Okay? The most excellent way is all about the way we use these gifts. Love is the way in which the gifts are to function. So it's important to note the context of the message. Paul is addressing the competitive Christians who are more committed to their personal success than the well-being of others. And here, Paul begins with three warnings. Let us trace. If you have the booklet with you, we're going to go through the passage. So if you can follow it, that would be great. So look at the first warning in the first one. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. No language in earth and heaven can be compared to the practice of love. It's so easy to be taken up like impressive words and eloquence. Without love, they come across as noise, unpleasant, distracting, and offensive. Love builds up people. Instead, self-indulgence and competitive spirit result in I'm better than you kind of a mentality, jostling for influences, self-promotion, and an inability to submit to authority. So lovelessness divides community and pushes people away. Look at the second warning in verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom, which means understand, all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Not only does lovelessness split community and pushes people away, it makes the person become zero significance before God, which means the person becomes no use to God. God cannot use the loveless Christian for his glory, even if he's gifted with revelation and vision from God, even if he's able to explain the deep things of the Bible and is knowledgeable with the wisdom of the world, even if he has the kind of faith that can do miracles. Now, rising to the climax of the third warning in verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I have nothing. I gain nothing. So what if you were to give away everything? What if you were to hand over your body to be burned, which is a better translation than what you have there? You let your body, you sacrifice. Okay. Even in acts of self-sacrifice, where they are motivated by self-interest and not for the interest of others, the effort, the sacrifice is wasted. The act may be benefiting others, but sadly, is not benefiting the person doing them. You see? Lovelessness is futility. It talks about a lot about futility last week. It achieves nothing for the doer. So such strong words are meant to break down all preconceived notions of what it means to be a good Christian, from the mundane day-to-day activities to grand acts of self-sacrifice. Love must be present in everything we do. Love matters. What then is this love? Heart shape, Jane. Okay? Love, okay? What then is this love? What is its character? So in verse 4 to 7, Paul described what love is, what love is not, and what love does. In a series of 15 verbs, we get a sketch of what this love is. The verbs are in present continuous tense, which means they are action and ongoing. Action that you keep doing over and over again until they become your habits, until they become part of who you are. We get it, Paul? 15 verbs. Love is not an idea. Love is not intention. Love is not even a motivating factor. Love is not talk shop. Christian love is behavior. To love is to act. Unlike spiritual gift, I ask you to jot down what you want from God, which we only need to open our hands to receive it, right? Gift. But love is this spiritual gift, and love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's different. That means it needs to be cultivated and practiced. See the difference? Gift, just receive it. Suddenly you speak in tongues, suddenly you have power to heal. You can't practice healing, right? But love, you need to practice it, okay? So it's not enough to wish good things on others. We need to turn our good intentions into tangible, concrete, perceptible reality that can be seen, felt, and heard by others. Love is the outward expressions of the faith in hope in us. People should be able to tell that we are Christian by looking at how we behave. Now, most of us are who are familiar with this passage? I mean, yeah, most of you. It's a popular passage. So we are very familiar with this passage for its beauty, you know, for its power. It's read in weddings, right, in anniversaries, or even funerals, okay? You've seen it on greeting cards, on mugs, on blogs. Yet my fear is, we might have missed out precisely what Paul tried so hard to say. We don't have this thing called love. To love is to behave in ways opposite to yourselves. Read it again and see how unnatural this love is. Just replace the word love with your name and tell me how do you feel about it. Any response? How do you feel about it? Putting your names there, replacing love and it with your name. Sean is patient. I cringe at a statement. Sean always trusts, always hope, always persevere. Always. I can see it in Cindy's eyes saying, please stop. And I will, okay? Paul rightly reminds us that such love is something extraordinary. Right? Do you think you have what it takes to become the person he's describing here? To become such a person, we must first experience this kind of love. Right? If you've never experienced it before, how are you going to express it? So there was a man who chose to marry an unfaithful and promiscuous woman. She had children who are not his, and she ran away and lived an immoral life. Eventually, she became enslaved to prostitution. The man finds her and buys her back for 15 shekels of silver and 200 kilograms of barley, a lot of money in those days. And he said to her, "You are to live with me for many days. You mustn't be intimate to other men or be a prostitute. And I will be faithful to you as you are to me." The man, he wants to renew and continue the relationship with his wife. For this reconciliation to work, she needs to change. The Bible tells us this unfaithful woman is us. And the man is God. You can read all about it in the book of Hosea. Here we see love in action. God is patient. He is long-suffering. God is kind. God does not boast. God is not proud. God does not dishonor us. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. God is the most tolerant being in this world. He has tolerated our unfaithfulness, for we desire many things which are much more inferior than Him. Yet God is love. love does not equal to lovelessness. And love does not tolerate continued lovelessness. Love cannot help but to infuse others with love, because love acts. This is why God wants us to change, because He cares about who we will become. He doesn't want us to delight evil. The Father doesn't rejoice when His children walk away from Him, from His truth. Instead, He pursues us. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. It is this kind of love that money cannot buy, and we can't earn it. Yet we don't have to, because you and I have already possessed it. God loves us, and God acts. When the invisible become visible, when eternal becomes time-bound, when love comes down and walks with us, we get Jesus. Jesus is the concrete, perceptible reality and the outward expressions of God's love. Jesus acts. At the cross, Jesus paid His 15 shekel of silver and 200 kilogram of barley with His blood. He buys us back to be His rightful wife. Not only does He give us back our dignity, but He honors us with seats at His Father's tables. He declares, nothing can separate us from Him. At the cross, Jesus seeks nothing for Himself, but only the good of you and me. Love for others over self-interest. It is a love for unworthy, coming from a God who is love. This is a love lavished on others without a thought whether they are worthy or not. It flows from the deep well of the lover, not from any attractiveness in the beloved. Jesus did not wait for us to become patient and kind. He died for us so that we can experience His love and become transformed by it. Have a seat. Here are the richest people in the world according to Forbes 2017 top 20 billionaires. You know any one of those? I'm sure you know a few of them, right? Okay. Yes. I was thinking, why is he there? He's so young. He's too young. It's unfair. So are these people your future, your role models? So I wonder if there's anything that Bill Gates, he's the richest man in the world, there's something he asks, he needs, that he has to ask someone to give him. I think he has $83 billion, I think. In the gospel, there's a story of a rich young man. Look at, I like this version. Okay? This man, the rich young man, he knows what to ask. He's smart. He comes running to Jesus with an urgent request. What good thing must I do to get eternal life? Okay? So the rich young man has everything he needs and so much more. He knows that the riches and success in this world could not give him what he wants. The things of this world do not last. What a shocker. Now, some of us live for the here and now. We treat this life as a destination. We try to get from this world what we can experience in the next. So we live with unrealistic expectations. We try to pack it all in, right? We try to cram our schedule. And we ask too much of people. We want the people around us to provide the paradise for which our hearts crave. Not this young man. This rich young man is smart. He knows this life is not a destination. Just like you know UTS is not your destination. You're only transitioning, right? Who wants to stay here forever? Imagine you're going to camping for the weekend and someone starts to build a brick house, laying bricks. That's crazy. But the young man is smarter than that. He clings on to his faith in the eternal God. He clings on to his hope in the eternal life. Yet, he asked this question because he believed that the choices he makes today and his action have future consequences. And Jesus' answer is simple. I'm forever. Follow me. Give up everything that clogs up your timetable and attaches you to the temporary things. Come and be transformed. The rich young man keeps himself busy with many things. He's willing to do many things. But only one thing is required and demanded from him. What matters to Jesus is his character, not what he can do. A character of humility, patience, generous, and self-giving love. And you can only get this kind of character by following Jesus. At the feet of the cross, you and I have taken the first step towards becoming this person. Now we see people as those for whom Christ died, the objects of God's love. Therefore, they are also the objects of our love. And the Holy Spirit we received begins to transform us from the inside out. Do you sense the Spirit calling you to reach out to others? Do you feel the Spirit directing you to do something, to serve? Do not resist. My friends, let me tell you what this 1 Corinthians 13 love is. This love is not you. This love is the person you are becoming day after day when you respond to the Spirit's promptings. When you respond to life moments in the way of love, it is the result when you make conscious decisions to cultivate habits of saying no to your own desire and say yes to Jesus. Small, little habits, choices, transform our character. It is said that, you know, Abraham Lincoln, okay? It is said that Abraham Lincoln, when he was the president of U.S., he was advised to include a certain man in his cabinet. When he refused, he was asked why he would not accept him. He said, "I don't like his face." The president replied. But then the guy said, "But the poor man isn't responsible for his face. And Abraham Lincoln replied, "Every man over 40 is responsible for his face." As time passes, we all deserve the face we have. Wrinkles, where do they come from? Our face reflects the person inside us. Our wrinkles starts to form. If you're anxious, if you're happy, it starts. Pursue love, Paul say. Love never fails, even our body ages. Love lasts. Love builds character that lasts. Indeed, the transformation in our character is permanent. It carries on to the next age. There are only two things that overcome decay in the entire universe. Two things. What are those? Our character, shaped by faith, hope, and love, and the Lord Jesus Christ in his material body. So when he returns, everything is destined to come to an end. Even the gift of the Holy Spirit will disappear. Nevertheless, at this present moment, we still need the support of spiritual gift only because of our incomplete and partial experience with Jesus right now. Look at verse 9. "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." Verse 10. "But when completeness can be translated as perfection, comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." On that day of glorification, we talked about that last week, we shall become complete and perfect as Jesus is. Until then, everything in this world is meant to be preparation for the next. That means your relationship isn't a destination. It's preparation. Your future job isn't a destination. It's preparation. Your friendships and family aren't destination. They are preparation. Now, don't get me wrong. These are all good things, but do hang on to them loosely. When we understand this life is preparation, we begin to see this reality. God uses the pressure and frustration of this life to shape us into the kind of person that would outlast the things of this world. Romans 5, 3 to 4 tell us, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. When we understand this life is not a destination, we need to approach the life from the eternal perspective. This affects our decision on how we spend our time, money, what job to take, and the way we relate to other people. So are you investing? Here's my question for you. Are you investing in the things that last forever? Are you making wise choices in how you invest your time and energy? It is your character that really matters to God. Why? Because God has prepared an exciting new job, vocation, career for you in the new heaven and new earth. You are to be priest and ruler with Jesus Christ, and it demands certain character to run those jobs. So let me finish this series with a summary. If faith brings us brings us into the relationship with Jesus. And the hope of glorification, the final outcome, sustains us in time of difficulties. Then love is about investing in things that truly last. Love is the greatest because without love, we are nothing. We completely miss the point of salvation and who God is. May God help us. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, for your word, for your Son, to know that he alone expressed what is love. We pray that each one of us is transformed by that love. So help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just sorry about how she's come to know.